hello every time with the Snickers.
I can't. Hello
wasn't quite
help
as extreme.
It. It's Brian's fault.
You're gonna condition me down to just, I'm just gonna be like, hello.
Fine.
How is this Brian's fault?
It is Brian's fault because he makes fun of him. Hello.
You're right. I can either go low key or high key. I can either do like
turn
full jazz hands
up.
Or just like
Eeyore.
on something. Yeah, right. Eeyore to jazz hands. That's where my slider
Eeyore's
lives.
Jazz hands. What's that like? Mm-hmm.
Like that's what the that's like. If you buy a Chinese Hello. Knockoff lawnmower, that's what shows how, what the thing is that shows how fast it goes. It's Eeyore to jazz hands. My name is Dustin Morabito. This is the Cubicorn Games Podcast. We're going to talk about probably a few video games, but
probably.
Maybe some other stuff too. Yeah. Who can say?
Get off topic
stuff.
Every time.
joining me today in this room, Lorraine Morabito is here.
As always.
And special guest and dun, dun, friend dun. Of us, the show, friend in general.
Friend to us all.
Friend to us all. Natalie Judd is here.
Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
Here to talk about stuff and things.
Yeah.
And joining us on the internet, Kyle McGrath is here.
How's it going? I have a lawnmower. It's made of cardboard.
Yeah, we'll get into that. This is a good day. I'm glad we didn't do it yesterday because that's really something.
Yeah, right.
Seriously.
What a thing.
Can we start with the showstopper or talk about our other nonsense?
Go for it. Well, there's even two Nintendo things. If you want to do Nintendo stuff, there's that, and then there's just a handful of other like little games, like their direct or whatever.
Oh, that's right, the one from like.
None of that stuff was like mind blowing. It's like ports of.
I mean, it's neat.
Yeah, Port Tropical Freeze is cool.
Neat. Yeah, that's the only thing that really stood out to me.
I might play more Dark Souls when that comes out on the Switch.
The world ends with you.
Something.
I still like. So
something.
I heard that it's supposed. Like, I guess there was a phone port of this game.
Sure, that sounds right.
Yeah, sure, back in that period where Square was putting everything on the phones, because you'll buy it, you idiot.
Of course. And then they have apparently said that this is going to be halfway between both, like, the DS game, the original one, DS?
Yeah.
Not Game Boy Advance.
Yes. Right.
And the phone game. So they're making it up for a third time for this new system. I have never played this game.
I wouldn't know anything enough about that phone game to know how different it was from the DS version. If
I heard,
it was just like a straight port or if they actually changed anything.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't actually know anything about...
I didn't even know there was a phone one until I heard about this game.
Yeah, that's also true.
In practical terms, I don't know anything about any of them. Like, I know basically, like, the kind of... the background of that game, or, oh, you're like a weird, hip Japanese kid, and, like...
Well, because the weirdest part was there was...
And then you're dead, and you're a ghost, and also it's kind of an RPG or something.
No, because the weirdest part was that it really used the DS well, because it was... There was face button and, like, D-pad stuff, but then you're also tapping, like... You're basically using two different parts of your brain at the same time.
Okay. Have you played this, or
no,
did you just watch more of it on YouTube
it.
Or something than I have?
A friend of mine in high school... was, like, super into this game. She showed me it a few times, but I never actually got it.
Okay.
I think Alex liked it a lot. She probably played that. I don't know.
This one didn't have a sun sensor?
No. I mean, she loves her some Boktai. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's probably...
That was, like, direct one.
Yeah. I can't wait till the next Death Stranding trailer where it's, like...
Oh, God.
It's got the baby in the throat and then also a sun sensor.
No, I don't. I don't need that game. I don't need to know anything else about... Kojima's latest fever dream.
Production.
No.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
Anyway.
You're talking about Death Stranding?
Yeah.
What about it?
It just seems like insane.
Have you seen the... We'll watch that later.
Yeah, we can watch
There's a trailer for that game that came out.
Oh, I saw the trailer because Mads Mikkelsen's in it.
Yes.
Hello.
Perfect. Yeah.
Hello.
Man.
I don't know what it is. No one knows what the game is. I think the staff even don't know what the game is.
Right, that's kind of my favorite part of it is, like, the actors, like Mads Mikkelsen, and what's that other guy's name?
Del Toro.
The guy from Walking Dead.
The guy from Walking Dead.
What's his Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus, yeah. I don't think they...
No one knows what it is.
I think he probably gives them a script, like, 2 pages at a time, and they're just like, all right, sure.
Just say these words into a microphone. Perfect.
It's probably a real trip. Working with Hideo Kojima on anything, but especially if you're like a performer.
I almost don't want it to come out because I like the mystery
it's
behind it. Like,
this way,
what is this? I'd rather not know like anything else about
it. Right,
just trailers for like years.
At the end of the game, it'll probably still be like a mostly modern military thing with guns or whatever, but also shit will be wild. So
if I can pretend to be Mads Mikkelsen for a few short hours, I think that'd be A-OK.
Fair enough.
Living out your deepest fantasies.
You know, maybe top five, top ten. It's up there.
It's up there.
Fair enough.
It's hard to know, put people on the spot like that and pick just one. Anyway. Yeah, anything else from that other, like, the...
Man, I didn't even watch
that. Direct thing. There was that fighting game with the SNK ladies that looked...
Right.
Proper boob-like.
But, what was it? Hyrule Warriors. I was going to say Fire Emblem Warriors.
No, it was Hyrule Warriors.
You killed her!
I ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's been too long.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, Lorraine pulled me back to reality.
Yeah.
That Hyrule Warriors port, again, I guess.
For the third time. Because
it was on the Wii U, and then on the DS, and now it's on the Switch.
Yeah. New 3DS. Only,
if you want to smack 100 faceless soldiers into the air with the Master Sword,
always.
You can still do that.
Yay. Thanks, Dynasty Warriors. I guess.
And yeah, like you said, Dark Souls, which honestly, of all those things that they announced, it might be the thing that I'm most likely to play again. Tropical Freeze would be up there too, honestly, though. But it's been longer since I've played Dark Souls 1 than it has since I played one of those Donkey Kong Country games, so...
You played a lot of Dark Souls 1, though.
Yeah, and like, you got almost nowhere. Like, I played, like, probably 50 hours of it, and got, like, and I barely scratched the surface. Mm-hmm. I got to, like, the third or fourth area at most.
No Blight Town for you?
I don't think so.
That's, like, my experience with Bloodborne. I get about an hour into it and just die and kind of never came back to it.
I mean, we recorded my experience with Bloodborne.
Yeah, you do that.
That was, like, 2 hours.
You do that loop until you either push through or you just, like, slowly wean yourself off it. You go from, like, two-hour-long play sessions to 30-minute play sessions to, like...
The controller's broken, and I don't want to see the TV anymore.
Yeah.
Bloodborne.
Mario Tennis is getting another game that looks like a Mario Tennis game.
Oh, right.
Waluigi's hair, though. Have you seen Waluigi's hair?
It is very nice.
It's
I'll
glorious.
Give it that.
What?
Suave.
I'm gonna look this up for you right now.
Find Waluigi's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a new game.
Technically, yes.
Camelot still made it happen, I think.
Still not making Golden Sun games.
Still never making another Golden Sun game ever again.
I mean, I think the window is like been closed and rusted shut and poured over by cement.
I mean, we got the one right, and it just wasn't that good.
Terrible.
And the dream died.
I don't know why we even want a fourth one.
Why can't I see images? God damn.
They should. Those are games they should either like just port or re-release. Like I would play if they remade those games and like rendered 3D, or if they even just like put them out as is the original GBA games. Those would be A-okay.
Quality game.
I played those a handful of years ago. Like, I mean, I had played the first one, but I never had the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And that second one was good.
Yeah, I mean, they're both like two halves of the same game, which is really good.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Still looking for Waluigi.
For some reason, like the Safari app wouldn't let me go to like images on Google. Like, it just didn't show up in the little queue. It was just all news videos. And not images. There we go. That's a picture of Waluigi, but it's so small.
Anyway. I don't remember anything else in particular about that, but...
I kind of just ran through the list here. I mean,
yeah, me too. I didn't actually even watch that presentation this time. I just kind of skimmed, like...
Looks like you're Mario
Plus Grabbins update, a Kirby game, Pokken updates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Stuff
that's not
that Age
important.
Slash and...
Oh, right.
He's in there. Mimikyu and...
Rain of Pokemon.
Yeah.
The
only actual playable character is Aegislash, I think, that they're adding.
Oh, and, like, supporting ones?
Yeah.
Do,
like,
right.
other combos
Assist
or
stuff.
Whatever.
Sure.
I played that game for a bit on the Wii U. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't for me.
I don't really play fighting games either, so there's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I wonder what that game's player base is like at this point. I wonder who's playing more.
That's a good question.
I wonder if people are playing more of that or more of ARMS.
I would guess more of...
Because those were featured, like, side-by-side when they were doing, like, Nintendo was doing, like, their whatever their version of esports is.
Oh, yeah.
around E3 or whatever. It's like, here are games that are technically competitive.
Woo!
That, like...
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing ARMS at EVO next year.
Probably not.
Maybe Pokken, like...
You never know. At least I guarantee there's, like, Pokken side event. Like, there's some dude in a hotel room with, like, $1,000 on a bed, and he's challenging dudes to Pokken for money.
I mean, that's EVO.
Yeah.
And the ARMS is being played in an alley.
Anyway.
Shook down after it.
Mm-hmm. But ARMS, not the only game... game, not the only product, I guess, that is making dutiful use of those Nintendo Joy-Con detachable controllers.
Not in the slightest.
Let's talk about their weird thing. So Nintendo had released, it's like a 2 or 3 minute trailer.
Yes.
Neat looking trailer.
Of a project, a product called Nintendo Labo. I'm not sure. I guess Labo is how you'd say it.
Said it in the commercial.
Is basically a line of like crafting toys that interact with mini games that you play on your Switch. So it's like these kits that come that kind of look like if you've ever seen like Japanese papercraft.
Yeah.
Where you like it comes with all these sheets and you like cut out all the sheets and but you kind of fold everything together.
It looks like it's not like glued because some of that stuff is glued. It's all like insert tab here and
it's all cardboard folds.
Yeah, but it basically comes with a bunch of slabs of cardboard that are like pre-cut out and you kind of punch them out like you would board game pieces. And then you fold them all together.
Make this housing thing for the Switch.
Yeah,
and then you just
and it makes a physical toy that you can play with
like
digitally using the game. Yeah, like
I saw this today.
Yeah, it just dropped today.
They just announced this like hours ago.
Yeah, it looked like a tiny piano and I was wondering what.
And you can actually play it when you tie it to like the app that comes with it.
So wait a minute. Like, is it like a digital dollhouse?
I mean, there's probably the opportunity for that because one of the little mini games looked like it was just like a little building,
house.
And then you could like shove stuff into the side of it,
and
like
interact with some guy on the screen. Or
that would be hilarious. Yeah, like you could do like a sitcom with your little game pieces, and you could do like the music on the little keyboard and everything.
There you go. Yeah, it's like Miitomo, but like you build the house.
That's what I was trying to remember the name of Miitomo.
This is the house Miitomo built. Uh-huh.
Hang out with friends and remove their toilet. And it's also The Sims.
Like, it wasn't super clear watching this thing how customizable each of these things were, if at all. Like it might just be, you know, it has the six games on the one and it does each of those six things, but not much else.
Yeah, and then I read a thing later that was like, there's some element to it where you can apparently like build your own stuff. I have no idea how that works. This was in like a write-up that somebody like who got invited to play with their with the system in general for a little bit. And I guess part of the in-game apps are like it's multifaceted where the first thing that the app is used for, basically like the software you load on the Switch when you interact with this thing, is it shows you step by step how to put them together like Lego Lego manual.
They showed that a little bit in the trailer.
And then once you complete them, you can play like at least there's a minimum there might be more than one, but at minimum like one little interactive experience that comes with each cardboard thing. Mm-hmm. Like you put the piano together. And you play it like a piano, like you literally just push little cardboard keys down and it plays the right note. And then there's like another side mode for each of these little constructs where it basically shows you how it works. And they kind of barely highlight that in the trailer.
Yeah, they showed like taking off panels and seeing like
the moving parts
like,
or whatever.
Cardboard mechanisms inside of these things. It was wild.
Yeah, and they do that with the piano one where it's like you swipe a little thing.
I don't know. Sorry.
I need to see this.
Oh, okay, go for it. Feel free to shout out. You're fine. Pull up that trailer, Lorraine, so she can check it out. But they do. They had a little, like, I think in the trailer you can see, like, barely, like, a second or two of this where you could, like, swipe back and forth and see, like, the X-ray vision, basically see through the cardboard to see what it looks like the little Joy-Con thing is doing. Because the piano one works just by computer vision.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the Joy-Cons has a camera in it. And you shove it into the back of the piano so that the camera part is facing the inside of the piano, and that's how it tells what keys you're pressing because it sees those pieces of cardboard go down, and then like the piano has like a dial on it that bends the pitch of the notes, and it has a dial on it that turns the notes into like you can make it make cat sounds instead of piano noises, or like some other like you can change settings to those, and those are literally like they have little strips of like colored tape or something. On these little dials that when you physically rotate them around, the camera sees that and knows which like sound cues to cue up.
That's really clever.
It's really wild. Like, yeah, it's basically like it's the kind of shit people were doing with the Wii Remote, like back in the day when the Wii came out. It was just like weird hobbyist projects where they'd like, all right, I'll take this thing and make it do something strange. And it's like Nintendo is embracing that plus like Lego and plus kind of like. Just like it's not like I wouldn't call it coding, but it's like engagement. Like if you have a kid, this is a good way to teach them about like ways that technology can work, like behind the scenes. Like I can see them tapping into like a pseudo educational kind of facet with this. But I think it's super clever. Like I think everything about it makes a ton of sense. And the statement, like when other people were asking questions, like when Reggie was answering questions about it, and he was like. he could see it going for, because the first two products are more kid focused.
Yeah.
But he could see it going places where like it becomes an all ages thing, and there are like, it's kind of like model kits, right? Where like maybe mm-hmm. there's a super complicated one that is more adult focused. That like
an Erector set.
Right, right, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Or even just like Legos, where like adults just build Lego these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if you want to build some Lego, buy the one that has 1,000 pieces and build some damn Lego.
Well, this, the great thing is, if you get sick of it, you can just start a campfire.
Throw in the cycling bin. I do appreciate that it is, you know, I'm assuming relatively environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like it's just
see the craziest. That they were going to sell the cardboard by itself, too. So when you inevitably step on it, you get another one.
When your kid leaves the piano in the middle of the living room and you squash it sleepily as you roll out of bed to get ready for work or whatever. That certainly makes sense also. Yeah, the only thing about it that actually seems surprising to me is that I guess each of those kits comes with a physical cartridge, like just a Switch cart. I would have just assumed that these would have been like downloadable, like you redeem this code and go download the app from the shop or whatever. But I mean, I guess Nintendo is still like that squeamish about people being able to access the internet. They were like, we better make sure you can use it even if you're not online. But
shrug.
Yeah, not like a deal breaker or anything. It's just like that's surprising to me. Like that's the way I would have done it. Would have been like, here, just download this thing.
Yeah.
But it seems like a really clever idea. Yeah. Like, I think there's a lot going
on
there that makes a ton of sense.
I'm really interested to see what else comes out of it, aside from just these like early tech demo-y things.
Mm-hmm.
Be really interested to see how people roll with this. Even like indie, like if you could. Like,
yeah, sure. I mean, and then there's like, that would be a cool, like we've been privy to a little bit of the stuff on like the Nintendo backend in terms of what they give access to developers for. It would be really cool if they released an API for like
that.
Yeah, that's like here's how you build your own like cardboard creation if you wanted to like make a software thing to go with just like a physical like instruction thing that you could like, you know, even just publish online to people.
Yeah, like, just like dump the PDF somewhere, like cut out the pieces on like just get a
right, get your X-Acto knife out and go to town.
Pew pew.
It seems really neat. And the part that, like, 100%, like, I was like, this is really creative. But then, like, when I was 110% on board, when they get to, like, the very end of the trailer, where they show just, like, a kid pull out a marker, and then they basically, show them like, customizing it. Like, you know, you can paint them, or you can draw them, or whatever. Like, that all makes so much sense to me. Like, it's such a smart, I think that physical engagement with digital, like, a combination of, like, physical and digital engagement with video games is really important. And it gives them one more out for, like, it makes it into, like, a collaborative thing and a family thing, and it's a little different than just, like, you know, Timmy zoning out playing Call of Duty for 6 hours at a time. Like, it's working a child's brain in a different way than just playing a normal video game would, which I think will appeal to a lot of parents who, like, you know, it's hard to take electronics away from your kids, but this is an awesome middle ground where it's that, but also it's not just, like, staring dead-eyed at a screen for, you know, 5 hours at a stretch with two joysticks under your fingers. I think it's really clever.
Yeah.
And I think it's the kind of thing that only a company like Nintendo would make.
Basically.
Sure.
But man, is it crazy?
You're not going to be slotting your PS4 into cardboard anytime soon.
I mean, you never know.
I mean, their analog to that would just be like the PSVR.
Sure.
Sure, yeah, I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm. Which no one bought, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. That's what...
It's still pretty buggy from what I've heard. Like, a lot of disconnect between the headset and, like, the sensors, and even if you have, like, it'll, like, drift too much, like, the centering on it, and it's really not good.
I want a Destiny papercraft gun kit where you build a Destiny gun with a kit you buy by mail, and then you hold it up to like a webcam, and then it gives you that gun in the game.
That's so Lego Dimensions, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
That's doing well.
Nope, that one's gone. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. That was a sarcastic.
Yeah, we talked. Right. Right.
But yeah, it seems like
the casual listener who wasn't aware.
Sure. It seems like a really clever, really interesting idea. If anything,
did they have a release date on that?
420.
April 20th.
$69.99.
So if you buy the special kits in California, they come with enough weed to get you. You know,
hemp I'd be cardboard. Interested to know though, like what their price point is.
So that's out too. It's
$69.99.
Yeah, it's $70
for the one.
It's $70 for basically like a sampler kit that comes with every single thing in that video except like the robot costume thing. With, like,
every
the backpack.
Single one.
Yeah, all of them come in the $70 kit, and then the robot one is its own $80 kit.
Oof. I guess there's a lot of moving parts with that one. Yeah, it makes some sense.
It did have a lot of cardboard going on, among other things. And like the little pulleys and stuff.
They pulled the panel off, and you could see like all that stuff working back there, and it's like capturing your hands, feet, and like.
And for those experiences,
that's
like
more of a game,
at the,
too,
yeah, right. The for those experiences, on the face of it, like that doesn't seem outrageous to me. Although I would love to see them go the other way too. Like, I'd love to see them do like kind of like Legos, where you have tiny kits that are like five or $10, and then you have the big ones that are like expensive. I would love to see them do products like that, where it's like, oh, here's one more little weird
thing.
Like
a $15
and it's like
thing.
Right, it's like $15 or $20,
and
you know,
it comes with a download code for the game, so they don't have to keep making these carts and upping. Yeah. Well, they're going to do that to up the price anyway, because why would you sell someone $15 of cardboard?
Uh-huh. But I mean, if they released
how
other...
How much those cartridges really cost?
I mean, more than...
Bittering agents don't
nothing.
Make themselves, Kyle.
Like, more than physical discs, at the very least. Yeah. And definitely more than, like, a sheet of paper with a code on it.
Right.
Because that's actually... They cost enough that it drives the price up of some physical Switch games. Mm-hmm. Like, companies will just charge, like, $10 more... For the same game physically, just because I guess the cart adds that much, like roughly in overhead, but.
Shrug.
Yeah, it's really. I think that would make a lot of sense for, like, to expand that product line in that way. Like, if you paid $10 or $20 for one more little, like, single one off thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you get, like, even 2 hours of play out of it total when combined, like, with building it and, you know, fiddling around with a minigame for a little bit. Like, I don't think that's a bad.
It looks cool, too.
Yeah.
Like, I like building shit.
You have a fun, silly little thing that, like I said, if you've got, like, you know, you're 7 year old or something, you can, like, you can get out the markers and customize it. And
27 year old.
Teach them how to be real good at IKEA.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man. That's our dark future is IKEA games that do that's like a training program.
Oh, no.
No, I just wonder, like, in terms of, like, some smaller applications for it, what would be a neat idea?
Nothing immediately comes to mind, but...
But I just wonder
sure
what...
Sure as hell won't say it out here. I gotta keep it for myself.
No, I just wonder,
I'm
like...
I'm a nindy.
What their overarching inspiration to do something like that was. Like, if somebody was thinking about, like, digitizing their childhood Erector set,
I mean, that's
or
basically
Legos.
Like Nintendo. It's like digitizing your childhood. It's what
Miyamoto's
been doing.
No, but I mean in such a tangible, physical way. Like,
yeah, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's really... It is really innovative.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a clever idea. And like I said, the two things that immediately, when I watched the trailer from beginning to end, the two things that it reminded me of were those weird Japanese papercraft things. And as far as like Nintendo products or video games are concerned, it reminded me a lot of Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Although I would say that this is the potential to be way broader than that.
Oh, yeah,
because, like,
sure.
When Wii Fit came out, you had people bellyaching up and down of, like, oh, this isn't for me. I don't want to work out with my video games. But that really wasn't the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... a product for you. It's a product to try to carve out its own little space, like, in the world of video games.
Vitality sense.
Or to just inspire future projects and see what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of...
Yeah, and I think this is...
tech in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is smart as a thing to do. Like, I think this would make way more sense than, you know, them trying to go to the mat for, like, really established genres or really established franchises necessarily.
I mean,
like,
that's kind of what they've... That's kind of been their MO with the Switch to begin with, like... This isn't a 4K VR supporting necessarily. They've said otherwise, but we'll see. Like big boy contender with like the PS4, Xbox, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of its own thing.
And clearly, the thing that is selling Switches to date is just the fact that it's so different from the platforms it's competing with. So. Like, in every way that they can do that, just to say, like, here's a thing that's very different than, like, the PlayStations and the Xboxes of the world. Like, they've got an established beachhead in, like, the very hardcore games market and, like, the basically as, like, the place where PC ports live, among other things. Mm-hmm. That, like, Nintendo's going to do something else. And I think every time that they make that choice, like, even if it doesn't work out every time, like, even if this isn't ultimately a financial success, I think that the goal, like, the logic behind it is sound. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense to try stuff like this.
And to push the industry further.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a really...
something they're really good at.
It's a really clever thing, down to, like, how mechanical, like, watching the dude play the keys, or, like, the telescoping out of the,
oh God,
the little fake fishing rod.
That fishing rod kills me. Just the string and just, oh my gosh.
Why does it kill you?
It's so funny. It's so cute and funny and just stupid. It's hysterical.
Oh, and it's very over-engineered for, like, what it had. Like, it could have just been, like, an immobile, like, if it was just a non-movable, just,
but
like, one physical thing.
And it's got the rotary thing. Oh, it's great.
It's over-engineered in the best way possible.
Exactly. Oh, it's so good.
And then on the opposite of the spectrum, you have that little, like, car bug thing.
It's so cute.
It is literally just like a static piece of cardboard, but you can make the controllers vibrate and then it'll like skid across the floor. Like that is.
And then the one had the elephant head on it. It was so cute.
I thought that was hilarious. I would torture my cats.
Chase them around the house. Oh,
you have no idea. The one would probably just try to like run through it though. Squish your little head in there.
Take it out.
Yeah, I think that's a really clever thing. I think it's super smart.
It's fun.
And yeah, I want to keep seeing them announce stuff like that. Plus, there's the whole, even if you take out the more fiddly gameplay parts of it, there's always the, if they want to go for their like established base of customers with products like this, they can just go the Amiibo route and be like, oh, here's a Papercraft, like, Master Sword and, like, stand. Here's a Papercraft Triforce. Here's a Papercraft Mario Mushroom. And, like, that'll, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That shit. They could even also be Amiibos if you follow the logic of, like, that cereal where they put one of those little microchips inside a literal box of cereal.
You can put NFC in everything.
and they
do.
Yeah, the sky's the limit as far as that's concerned. But,
cardboard sky's the limit.
The cardboard sky is the cardboard limit. You could do like a level editor for a Yoshi cardboard game that they will
I mean, they still haven't said anything about that, which I need to know more. It's no Woolly World. Like, I was waiting for Yarn Yoshi for fucking years when they didn't say anything about it. And I love that game to goddamn pieces. Slightly skeptical about this new one. But
you already know exactly what this game is. You just don't know when it's coming out.
Running and jumping and eggs.
But it's not as cute. Everything about Yoshi's
World is not as cute as Yarn. That's true.
Exactly.
Just fact.
It's fact.
Not quite as cuddly.
It's a rock fact.
Anyway, Lorraine.
Yes.
Have you been playing any video games?
Probably.
All right. Well, it's a start. Offer me up a video game.
Let's see.
Putteth your game onto the altar so that I may judge it.
I'll only touch on this lightly because it literally just happened today. I've talked about this game at length already. I finally platinumed Ys.
the most recent Ys game.
I had kind of fallen off of that game, like, I think it was, like, November or something like that was the last time I played it, because just other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, because Mario was, like, coming out, and it's like, okay, Mario time.
Clear up your schedule.
But I went back to it and just blazed through the last, like, two chapters of the game in, like, 2 days. And a lot of it, I actually ended up brute forcing most of the fight. Because this was a new game plus, and it was on the hardest difficulty, which was the last thing I needed to do. So I was basically just, like, stocking up on health items and just going, like, balls to the wall. And I just kept eating this, like, you can cook in that game. And I kept eating this food that just gave me back MP, basically, so I could just spam my attacks as much as possible and just get through it. And I did. I did it this morning. But otherwise, I have been playing since it started. It was supposed to just be a one-off because Dustin was busy with work. I've been playing Banjo-Kazooie on our stream. And I'm like, I've got 2 worlds left on it now, and I still love that game every time I play it. It's a delight.
Do you have a preference between... You're playing the original one now.
Hell yeah.
Do you prefer the original unaltered game, or do you like the HD Xbox version?
The Xbox version looks a lot better.
Well, there's that.
Because I had played in between. So I played Banjo-Kazooie for a million years ago, whenever that came out. 90s. And I had played it a few other times, like, over the years. And then the last time I had played it was on the Xbox. And that shit looks crisp. It's so nice. And then coming back to the N64 one, it's just like, I even said something, I think, on the first stream. I'm like, this is really, like, just blurry. Like, it just looks bad. And, like, it looks different on the stream, but not in a weird way. Like, it still looks kind of bad. But I don't care. I love that game so much. I'm having a great time. That camera, though, is going to be the death of me.
But... yeah, that would be my issue, going back to an old game with a mod remake. Not so much how it looks, but just the controls and the graphics. The controls are just...
Do you remember if the Xbox version has, like, dual stick support? Does it just work the way modern games work?
I think it might just work by this. Like, you could. I think you can, like, move the right stick.
Right.
But I think it just works like C buttons. I think it's just a on-off like an analog input.
Well, that's still...
Digital, not analog.
Yes, thank
that's
you.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, other than that, like, everything else is, like, it literally just came back to me the second I picked up the N64 controller. It's like, oh, yes, well, this... Maybe a few times I accidentally did the invincibility shield because I hit the wrong C button and meant to poop eggs, but it's fine.
I always played the sequel. Me and my sister.
Banjo-Tooie.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That one actually does have multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, we would just, like, get totally jacked on sugary soda with my cousins. And we would sit there and play the shootout in the Mayan temple.
Nice. Oh, God. Yeah.
For hours on end, or I would play the flying saucer, the shooter game.
Oh, yeah.
With the flying saucer.
I recently replayed that one on the Xbox as well.
I love that game.
I definitely like the first one better. There's a little too much in that game, mm-hmm. like just going through it, which was what I ran. Like, I had never actually beaten that one.
Which one?
Tooie.
Yeah.
But I did on the Xbox for the first time.
Yeah.
Like 20 years later.
When did that come out on Xbox? Was that part of the Rare collection?
It was before. It was on the 360.
Because it was on the 360 way
the
back
Xbox
in the day.
Xbox Live Arcade, I believe. Okay.
Probably in like 2010 or so, if I had to guess. It's been a bit.
I would have played it on the Rare Replay, except the Xbox One was being a goddamn prick. So
yeah,
I said, fuck you, and went to the 360.
Damn, Ryan.
I spent like an hour trying to get it to work. Rare Replay is this disc that has, like, 30, like, from Rare's history. Obviously not the Nintendo ones, because Microsoft bought Rare or whatever. Like, no, like, Donkey Kong Country or Donkey Kong 64 or anything, or Diddy Kong Racing. But all the Banjo games are on there.
Okay.
And...
is Conker's Bad Fur Day on there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It
but
is.
I don't remember if it's the N64 one or the Xbox
It's
original.
A port of the Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which isn't as good. They changed some stuff in that one. It looks a little better, but it's a slightly different game.
Okay.
But the games aren't on the disc. They prompt a launcher, and you have to download them from the store, and it wasn't connecting right, because I owned Banjo-Tooie already on the 360, and some of those purchases, like, go forward since they've been putting the backwards compatibility stuff.
Okay.
So I was just staring at this thing, and it was trying to update and make space. And everything just, like, Rare Replay had to update. The Xbox had to update. And it was just, like, the worst experience ever.
I just want to play video games.
So I just, like, I don't care. Dragged out the 360, plugged it in, and played it like that. It booted up. But, yeah.
There's something to be said for the simplicity of times long gone.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well,
we've lost it.
Something pretty cool about
non-DRM.
When games couldn't update. Like, there's baggage that comes with that, too. But my Super Nintendo never rejected me once when I wanted to play Super Mario World. It was just there.
Unless you had to blow on the cartridge.
I don't really remember doing that for the Super Nintendo.
Not nearly as much
Super
as
Nintendo
the
did
NES.
All right. It was more just the...
toaster.
The poor design of the NES.
Horrific, stupid thing.
Me and Johnny played Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for an entire month.
Hey, that game's awesome.
We love that game.
I love Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
But is that
game is tough.
Is that actually Mike Tyson's, or is this Mr. Dream?
Oh, no, it's Mr. Dream. Because I know Mike Tyson was the first one, and then Mr. Dream was like...
later re-released.
Copyright friendly.
Well, no, not even that.
No, it was a contract.
Legal issues, and Nintendo didn't want to be associated with it anymore.
What's that, Kyle?
Mike Tyson got into some troubles with the law, and then Nintendo didn't want to be associated with him anymore, so they replaced his character.
That's when he was Mr. Dream.
Re-released the game.
That's what it is on everything now.
Right. Mike Tyson's not going to be making an appearance in any future Punch-Out games.
No.
Unfortunately.
That's fun.
That's really neat.
What else have I been doing? I'm still attempting. I haven't picked it up too recently. It's been like a week. Tempting to play through Ultra Sun. It's so hard.
Boy, it sounds like a slog.
I mean, again,
so
if you don't
want
to do it, just stop.
I want to finish it, though. I haven't not finished a main...
Just admit it. The magic is gone. You're old now. And you
I
can't
know,
go back
I am.
Land.
Damn it.
Your heart shrank three sizes that day, and you were just like, nope, I'm good.
Pokemon's a thing for children.
I'm trying so hard. I want to just get to the end of the story and then never have to look at that game again, like Platinum. And then they're good. I know they haven't said anything, but my fucking tinfoil wearing hat, I know they're going to remake Gen 4 and it's going to be awful. Ugh, I don't need to go back to Sinnoh. I don't want to. Don't make me.
You sound so excited, Lorraine.
Be the Switch Pokemon game they're talking about, or is this just something else?
What now?
Do you think this will be the Switch Pokemon game they said was in development, or do you think that'll be something else?
Man, I don't know.
Say, we kind of already had that discussion.
We have,
and I think we landed
times.
On nobody knows. So,
all right.
I suppose we'll see.
I hope not, but shrug.
Oh man. Lorraine, video games are supposed to be fun. If you're not enjoying them, you should probably disengage.
I want
to finish. There's lots of other games to play and or things to do.
Things to do.
Lots of ways to spend your time.
Yeah, but Digimon's coming out this Friday.
Well, that's a thing you can do instead of Pokemon if you'd rather play that.
And I will.
That too.
That's why I had to finish E's before Digimon.
Get your Vita game of the
I couldn't just leave it. I was so close. I needed one more trophy to finish it, and I did.
Anyway.
Existence is pain.
It sounds that way.
My life
terrible
is hard.
Life of the
clearly suffering.
There.
Always suffering.
Oh boy. Natalie, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What would you say, talking about Banjo-Tooie, what would you say that you think your most prominent game playing platform was as a kid? Was it the N64 or like maybe
you
something else?
I played a lot of N64.
I played a lot of N64.
I know
had
how much
be.
You love Majora.
had to be N64. When I got a little bit older, we were playing PS2.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like middle school days.
Sure.
I remember you.
But my fondest memories are the N64.
Games like Banjo-Tooie and stuff of that.
Yeah,
like basically
stuff like that
era.
Well, we loved those games. Those ones, I said Conker's Bad Fur Day, because that was the one we had to hide from our parents.
Mm-hmm. As a child does.
Sure, yeah. Can't let them see the singing piece of poop. That's not going to play.
Hey. I still
remember that.
Oh
my!
I don't know when I'll be a parent, but I'm not going to let my kids play that game until they're 17 or so.
It's
gotta,
rated M for mature.
You got to tickle
it
the one sunflower.
Oh yeah.
With the giant hooters.
Yeah, you
that's
gotta,
right.
But you got to like bounce on them or something.
Yeah, you got to
tickle
jump
the
on
sunflower.
You
got
to tickle the
that's
sunflower.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. Those horny bees.
I remember playing Donkey Kong on that one. And hating being scared to death of the Toy Factory level.
Oh, God, it's so terrifying.
And the boss.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Jack-in-the-Box.
Yeah.
So it's like a Jack-in-the-Box.
I remember having nightmares about that.
It is not. Some of those bosses in that game are really messed up. I recently, because when they released it on the Wii U, like maybe like 3 years ago or something like that. I don't remember when that was. It's all a fever dream. I replayed
right.
that game for the
Life
first time
in
like forever. I still to this day have not beaten Donkey Kong 64.
It's hard.
The ending of that game is the best part.
I know, but
you
literally have to get everything though to do like the real fight.
Mm-hmm. I never beat that game myself either.
I don't think I did.
We got. I've seen the ending of it because some of my cousins basically had like done the hard work to like slog through to the end fight.
Damn.
And we just kind of sat there and did it together over the course of a few hours.
Nice.
But like they did all the hard parts and then I reaped the reward of
that game has too much
being able to see them beat, you know, K. Rool or whatever.
If you liked collectathons, then why wouldn't you like 5 collectathons in one game? That's just value.
Some things are too much, Kyle.
It made the numbers go higher.
Too much
right.
higher. Banjo-Tooie walks the fine line between Banjo-Kazooie and Donkey Kong 64. Like that was their middle ground, and like, there isn't like going back. I mean, I knew this going in because I've played this game so many freaking times. There is not that much to Banjo-Kazooie. It is like, I mean, granted, I know where like everything is.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty Bucket Bay is gonna be hard because I hate that level. But
so you think there was too much in Banjo-Tooie? You had said this
a little too much, like for my personal.
Like, what drove you the most crazy?
The fucking canary race in goddamn Cloud Cuckoo Land was the only jiggy piece that I did not get in my playing of that game on the 360.
I just remember my sister, like, swearing.
You can't do it. You have to, like, literally mash the E button to go forward. And I heard...
Or you gotta have one of those cheater controllers.
But no, so I heard the best thing... I didn't try it, but I heard people were able to play the game with a Guitar Hero controller and use the buttons to make that fight work. which is incredible.
Oh, and like strumming it?
No, something? Like the actual button, because yeah, they okay. correspond to the like face buttons on the Xbox.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But that was like one of the more consistent ways people were able to do it on the 360, which I found hysterical. Fuck that race.
No, it wasn't that.
Canary Mary is terrible, and I hate her.
Although I do, she see, I have another. It. This is all good because I like where this is going. But I have another follow-up question.
Uh-oh.
Did you, Natalie? Did you play more 2E than Kazooie? Did you
way
even,
more?
See, that's the. And did you even maybe play that game first?
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. See, this is the. I think it's more of even just a general theory of like video games in general, but it applies to like it. Like the more common parlance is like the Mario Kart. Like the first Mario, your first Mario Kart
but
is your
I
favorite
played
Mario Kart.
Super Mario Kart first, so that's not my favorite.
Well,
Super Mario Kart like, doesn't hold up as well.
It doesn't. I played that
games.
Recently
oh,
with
it's
Brian
good. It's
on
not,
Phil's
good.
SNES Classic.
Yeah.
And that game is hard.
Mario Party.
Mm.
Oh,
Mario Party. Everybody remembers their first
Mario
Party.
Mario Party 1 was the best one, though.
But I played more of 4.
We'll see. But that's what I'm getting at, is that when a lot of these...
But I played 1
when a lot
first.
Of these games are so similar and the changes in them, like, especially the ones that are really close together, like, release date-wise, are sort of incremental. Like, I think for the most part, it's going to be the one that you fell in love with first is the one that sticks with you more than anything
right.
else. Like, even if you, like... Even if you play them, like... If you play Banjo-Tooie and Banjo-Kazooie together or whatever, and like a very clinical, like evaluative mindset where you go like really trying to examine them and dig deep and see, try to think about what makes them tick. For you personally, I think whichever one you came to first, like that's where I land on Banjo-Kazooie relative to Mario 64. Because I played that game first, and they're not the same,
but I played
but they're similar.
Mario 64 first as well.
Well,
there's exceptions to every rule.
There's exceptions to every rule. Lorraine, you are the exception to every rule.
I try.
You know, I started playing Mario 64 again too. Recently.
That's a good game.
There were some dark days the last year.
Hey man, so, you 2017 was rough for like
literally
everyone.
Whatever gets you through the day. If it's
they re-released Gold on the 3DS and I had a great time.
Tiny Huge Island.
Yeah.
Mm. Stumped me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. And
I gave up on the game after Tiny Huge Island.
I think it might be, because I, the most recent time I think I played that was on the Wii, actually, just because it was on Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck it,
download
why not?
Or whatever.
I think it might have been, like, Dry Docks for me or something like that, is when I haven't beaten Mario 64. Never.
Never mind.
Yeah, anyway,
shut up,
Kyle. Let's not get into it. It's not, that argument is not worth having. But the other thing I was going to ask about this, because a lot of these, and I think like 3D games, basically games from that era onward.
Those early days are rough.
Like, well,
it's hard
well
going
they're
back
rough,
to some of
but they also like the more that I've thought about it, because I kept thinking about this a lot after I went back to play Breath of the Wild for a little bit, because that's a game where like where the spaces
game.
You occupy are like almost 90% of the experience at some point, and it got me thinking about how I relate to. To like game experiences in my memory and how some of them are, I feel like are different than others. Whereas like, you know, like I have memories of playing like old versions of Tetris or something as a kid, and I might remember like how hard it was.
Let me tell you about Tetris.
You know, that time I got the high score or whatever. But like I compartmentalize those into like a like if I had subdivided my memories, there some of them are events and like some of them are spaces. And for games like of those 3D eras or like for when going back to the Breath of the Wild, like. I remember those games more as, like, the world that, like, the space that you occupied within them than, like, the string of things that you did, like, from A to B to C.
That makes sense, though, like, on a psychology level, because some things, like, I remember going to, like, the Vatican for the first
time. Yeah.
Lame example, but...
No! That is the least lame example ever.
Right.
If you had said, I remember going to the Kmart, that is a lame example.
No, but it's like... Right. Like
anyway.
I remember physically being there like the first time. And when you're in this really like a brand new world and you're just taking it all in at once and you're looking around, whether it's real or it's virtual, like the first time you occupy a place, like it does have a unique memory attached
to it.
Right. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, and when people say things like travel expands the mind and stuff like that. Like on some level, it's just, you know, like a colloquialism or whatever. But on the other hand, I think there's real truth to that in the sense that your brain is kind of working overdrive when you're in a place you've never been before. You know, when you're seeing stuff or...
I mean, part of it is like the awe and wonder of something new, but also part of it's your like goddamn lizard brain that's trying to, like, adapt you and, like,
where are the exits?
Yeah. How do I leave this elevator?
But I mean, then you have a literal example with a game like Banjo-Tooie, mm-hmm. Banjo-Kazooie, mm-hmm. and it's like, literally, it's a continuation. Mm-hmm. Because it's
Banjo-Tooie
the same world.
Blew my mind when I first
played that's kind of the place where I got mentally, ultimately, which was really fascinating to me when I went like A to B to C. Because I'll use an actually lame example. Like
Do
I remember when, like I have memories of like old game stores, like when Funko Land existed. Like I remember the Funko Land that was in the mall that I went to, and I remember it like in my mind. I remember it vividly. But I bet if I like actually had like meticulously taken like mm-hmm. snapshots of what the inside of that store looked
It'd
like in, you know, 1998 or whatever, it would probably be quite different. But I have those same memories. Like I remember pieces of those video games in the same way, except those I have the reference point of if I go back to Banjo-Tooie, it's still there. Like mm-hmm. they haven't, you know, knocked it down and put up a Krispy Kreme or whatever. Like it's exactly the same as it was, you know, for the most part.
They haven't knocked it down and made a kart racer out of it.
or they
did.
Or they teach it how to update itself.
Oh,
right.
No.
So it's not itself anymore.
Yeah. So on some level, those reference points, like the fact that video games, especially three-dimensional ones, are like worlds in and of themselves, and that they don't change over time in the way that, like, mm-hmm. you know, the strip mall that you used to go to when you were 10 is maybe 100% different. Like, it might not even exist anymore. Like, you can't
like
go back to that.
Park.
Right, well.
Yeah. Rip that. Thanks.
You can't go back to that and, like, reconfirm with your own mind, like, what it was actually like at the time. But with these game spaces, mm-hmm. you totally can. Like, you can boot up Mario 64 and, oh, I remember the castle and, like, the basement, and I remember catching that bunny right there. And it's all still there, like, just the way, like, you can kind of check your own memory of those, like, spaces, which was really, because I had that same kind of feeling. Obviously, it's very recent, but it had been, like, you know, 6 months or something since I booted up Breath of the Wild. But going back to that game is so rich in, like,
everything.
Just occupying area that, like, I would just went back to it, even looking at the map. I was like, oh, I remember how cool that spot was, and how cool that spot was,
so,
and just, like.
So can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you think that that's what Skyward Sword maybe suffered from?
Probably a little bit. Yeah. I mean, among other things. Like,
we've
I
had
still
some lengthy discussions about Skyward Sword.
No,
if you put me on one side of it, I'm probably still, like, technically a defender of that game. Like, there are things about it I absolutely loathe.
For the most part, despite its shortcomings, I generally enjoyed my experience with Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to go back.
Well, yeah, and that's the part that I hate about it, is I would love to.
That bums me out.
I would 100% play, like, a director's cut of that game where they literally just take, like, 10 or 15 hours of busy work out of it.
All of those imprisoned fights are gone.
Well, that's just it, though. They return to the same place so many times that it's, like, the original, like, wonder of seeing it on that platform.
Fell
for
flat.
The first time, it fell flat because you visited the same space four times.
Locations.
Yeah, right. And you can do riffs on that. You know, like other games do that where maybe the thing that you at least do in those spaces changes enough that it might warrant, you know, a bit of recursion. But that game doesn't. I don't feel like it really ruins that in that sense either. Where most of the time, when it forces you to go back to a thing, like with the horrible imprisoned monster or whatever, the interaction is so similar to the last one that it's just you're just like, oh, this again. All right, I suppose.
I wonder if it's because of the tedious nature of having to backtrack to those places so many times, or just a flaw in the game design itself, but I don't remember too many of the places in that game.
I don't either.
None of them really stick out to me
sand,
in my memory.
Like the desert is
the desert
like,
was neat.
Like the most like vividly the etched in my mind of all of those, because there was a forest and a volcano. The forest, you had to go swim and get those stupid music notes, which was the worst thing in the world.
It was the worst.
And there was like a Forsaken Fortress-esque sneaking mission in the volcano, which
right.
I hated.
I do remember the stealth mission, but mostly out of frustration.
Boat in the sand one with the skeleton robot pirates, that was the coolest thing in that game.
That was cool, but it was also just a desert.
You know how awful...
The locale itself was not very memorable.
No.
That boss fight for a left-handed person with a badly calibrated Wii.
I would bet that whole game is a frustrating experience as a lefty.
Oh my
You're preaching
god.
Choir. Mm-hmm. Dustin's
Although I did suck it up, did you actually switch the hands? Like, I just played it right-handed with, like, the Wii remote in my right hand. Like, I just rolled with it.
No, I was insistent.
You're a real trooper.
I beat it left-handed.
Nice.
For spite.
You should get, right, if they had achievements on Nintendo platforms, that would be the best one of all. Like, if full 1,000 points for... No, that's impressive. Because I tried it once, maybe. Like, I think I might have done it, like, started it and done that for, like, 20 minutes and then just given up and been like, nope, I'll just figure it out.
I just remember the weird cistern with the creepy clockwork guy.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was awesome. That was maybe the highlight of the game.
I like that one.
Climbing that rope and all those, like...
Yeah, zombie, book goblin guy. That was icky. He's kind of visceral.
Yeah,
icky.
A little bit.
That's awesome. And that's an excellent point. Like yeah, it kind of all ties together, and like it's just really interesting. Like, I think it's just a really important way that people relate to video games that you don't necessarily relate to a lot of other like mediums. Mm-hmm. Like, I have fond memories of movies, but I don't remember them. Like, I do remember them as moments and not as like spaces. Like, it's just a different like sensory thing.
You
in
remember
your head.
The story as opposed to like.
You know, I remember
what you experienced necessarily.
Yeah, I remember watching a character progress or, you know, like, the arc of, you know,
obviously
a larger,
conflict.
Obviously,
there are exceptions to that. Like, if people's minds are strange places.
Sure.
To go off topic, I think that's why people are really upset about that Star Wars movie, is the feeling they get from that movie doesn't quite gel with the feelings they had watching the originals when they were children.
You know, I can buy that to some extent. I still think they're wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, they're wrong. Of course they're wrong.
But I'll accept it.
Yeah.
I'll accept it as an explanation for, you
nostalgia
know, people's
goggles.
Feelings.
Right. I mean, I could go along the same kind of lines. Like, Final Fantasy VII is not a good game. Ocarina of Time is not the best Zelda, and so on.
Let me tell you about Final Fantasy IX, though.
IX's good.
I love that
game. And it's better than VII.
Yes.
Like, that's still not, that's not really a fair, like... I think
I
that's
nine.
True, but that's not really
I
a fair comparison
so
considering 7 was the first PlayStation game. Like,
nine was the
in
last.
That light alone, it's like
I
super
know,
unfair to compare
I
them
know.
That one.
Get tons of credit for being the first of something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For any reason. Like, even going back, like, I remember, because I'm probably older than all of you, I remember more vividly, like, the Super Nintendo era.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into, like, 1996, the N64 era, like, holy shit.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Seeing Mario in a 3D environment as a game just completely blew my mind.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, a young person now could never even fathom.
Touching Mario 64 in, like, the KB
Whoa.
Toys demo
yeah.
as, like,
Whoa.
A 10-year-old.
Is this your life now?
No. It blew my mind straight out of my butt. Like, I was completely transfixed by the fact that even could exist.
Right.
That was the comic panel situation of, like, 5 more minutes, Mom. Like, I just didn't... Please don't make me leave, like, until I fiddle with this a little more.
This is my home now.
I know I had some of that revelation myself, because my dad owned an NES and a SNES. So, like, we played those with him. We had a decent amount of experience, I guess. More so than, like, probably some other kids around my age.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I was, like, 5 or whatever when the N64 came out. So
we had the same thing though with my uncle, because like I remember seeing Mortal Kombat for the first time, just being like, whoa,
that's a real dude.
Yeah.
That's a dude.
Yeah,
right. I remember seeing Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Zelda and Link. I remember that.
I remember my first because we got our N64 pretty late, but we did play it, like, my grandpa's house, where all the cousins would get together every week, had one, so we played it a lot there. But Ocarina of Time was never there for whatever reason, and I had spent one night, I was spending the night at my cousin's house, and I remember my first experience seeing Ocarina of Time, and that blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. I had the same feeling too.
And just like, I remember similar experiences with, like, Mario 64, and just that stuff was insane.
Do you even remember, like, the moment in the game, though? Like,
yes.
If we want to get real specific, the exact moment where your mind was blown, and that is your, like, formative memory association with that game. Because, like, I remember mine with Ocarina of Time. I remember exactly what it was.
It was just, it was literally just, like, seconds into what, he was just in, like, the Goron City, like, the most boring place in that entire game, but I remember that vividly. Just like, holy crap, look at this game.
Yeah.
I can still picture my weird, like, vague child memories of the Gorons, which weren't, like, they don't look the same. But I can still picture that, like, walking through those weird staircases and seeing the big open, like, the giant center room and the thing, like, spinning around in it. Just...
Yeah. I remember it was the waterfall in front of the Zora.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, where they do the pan back and they show, like, the whole valley. I just remember being like, oh, my God. What is this? Yeah, so I wonder what the next level of that is going to be.
Sure. There's, I mean, there's
even
a lot.
Sort of came close to that with Breath of the Wild. Like, that first moment when you leave the cave and you see, like, the world. And the realization is that it's all actually there as opposed to just being, you know, a background that you can't actually access.
Texture off in the distance.
Yeah, that game is sort of filled with, like, it's filled with little drip of that, where you hit a lot of those moments to a smaller extent.
It just, like, it for sure.
As you kind of just go through the motions of playing it. Like, probably, like, going in having not seen that game at all and then playing it for maybe like 3 hours, you'll probably get a moment like that every 20 or 30 minutes. Like, it just kind of, like, you'll just run across stuff that's like, oh, that's amazing. Like, either I didn't think that that would be here or realize that you could do this, or, you
know. It's really just the, like, how, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. How, like, real everything feels because of the way that, like, everything, it works.
Well, yeah, like, that doesn't hurt, like, the systems that they have in place
how all of the systems interact, like, it's
the way that
just
things
incredible.
Like electricity and fire and gravity work in a way that makes logical sense to your human brain. Again, you know, like, occupying a space where those things have, like, purpose, that they function sort of like the way that you expect them to in real life.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it does make for a very satisfying experience when you can just say, oh, I should shoot this electric arrow at this water to shock this thing, and then it works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Hell of a game. Still, every time I look at it, I'm like, this makes me feel good. I like that it's here.
Yeah.
I would guess that the next frontier on that arc would probably just be like when VR hits the point where you can have AAA blockbuster games in that space.
And I sure hope we get there, because, like, every day that goes by...
No guarantee we'll get there.
Yeah, every day that goes by, it's like, either that will happen, or this is all going to collapse in, like, a dot-com bubble sort of way, and, like, we'll never see another VR game again. And I'm not sure which way it's going to go, but if it all, like, goes belly up, I think it'll be a real missed opportunity. Like,
I think the potential is there. I would be putting my dollars into it right now, at least in an investment sense.
Sure, right, same. Like... I wouldn't be diversifying into VR, let's say, in 2018.
Keep them in Bitcoin.
That's right, yeah. It'll never go down except when it did. Just like within the last 24 hours or whatever.
I still think there is some of that magic there, because I know I've experienced some of that with, like, obviously Job Simulator, because that game, kind of like Zelda a little bit, like, the stuff you can do just works in a much simpler, like, sillier kind of way.
Yeah.
And I'd also say that, what was that Chunks game? The one with where you can build, like, the roller coaster and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, I actually, like, I got, like, vertigo a little bit in that game. Like, it was weird. Like, I felt so immersed in it, like, that everything just, like, told me I was actually in there. It was bizarre. But neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, same. Like, especially, like I said, the one going to, like, a VR thing and a modern thing, the time I remember having my mind blown in a way that I wasn't necessarily expecting with VR was just through the little intro thing, like, basically where you put the Vive headset on for the first time and you go through the little tutorial where it's basically you in, like, a portal warehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's just a robot yapping at you about how the controllers work or whatever, and, like, here, make a balloon or whatever. But just in being in that space and looking around it and having, like, the sound echo like you're in a giant hangar and it looking like a giant hangar with all the, like, height and depth that, like, you would see if you were in, like, you know, like a big-ass gymnasium or a warehouse or something. Like, my monkey brain was absolutely, I was like, this is a big space. Like, this is a large room.
Well, no, you remember when I was playing that one game and I tried to reach down, but I hit the floor because I didn't actually realize that, I was outside of the actual physical bounds of the real world.
Yeah.
VR.
Yeah, I hope that something comes of all that virtual reality technology, because it's the technology is basically there. Like, you can have higher res screens and stuff. Like, they're upgrading the Vive to, like, you can get slightly higher res panels in that thing now. Like, in a version 1.5 headset.
The tech's there, but the software needs to catch up.
Well, it's still the chicken and egg thing of, like, this whole time, it even with the price cuts, like, they're inching closer as those kits get cheaper or whatever, but it's a hard sell to get someone to plop down the money for the headset and the money for the big ass computer and the space to like, it's a lot of hurdles to jump through to get all that shit to work. Like it's a lot to ask of somebody to get that going.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas something like the Switch is like, you know, you just buy it, you plug it in your TV and you're done.
Bam.
Hell, you don't even need the TV anymore.
Well, right. Yeah. Exactly. You don't even need a television.
What's that?
But yeah, I think that's like, I think that's the thing as much as the software that, like, because one begets the other, right? Like, if 10 million people went out and bought those headsets, one way or another, there'd be a bunch of software. Yeah, exactly. Like, people would be in, like, a huge way. And I think it's just, you know, a hard situation to be in. I still kind of hope that, like, if nothing else, it'll become the, it'll find some kind of foothold in, as, like, an amusement. Like, there are people currently who are experimenting with, like, retrofitting portions of movie theaters to, like, these public VR spaces, just because it's a thing that'll get people into theaters other than watching a movie at this point. Like,
I still think my personal dream idea, which I doubt will ever be made, if they could get like Broadway recordings on VR, like because they don't do that. They don't record plays.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could just get one of those, like just the 3D cameras just in the audience, and so you could actually be like, you're actually in the theater watching this, that'd be incredible. I would love that
so much. Yeah, I wish that, I feel like that's dried up even quicker than the game stuff has. Because, like, you know, Hollywood and other entertainment seems like they might have mostly moved on.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that would make a lot of sense. I still think, like, live or recorded sports make a ton of sense in that context. Like, if you could have courtside.
Have a live sports.
If you could have courtside seats at every, you know,
everything.
Basketball game you ever wanted for $100 for the season or whatever. Like, that's compelling.
For the Broadway idea, why not put you in the play?
But I mean, like, I'd rather, like, be able to, like, just watch it. Like,
well, me too.
Just get, like, the nicest, like,
That'd be a good point, though. Like, as a, why not? Like, that'd be a really cool experiment, if nothing else, to, like, have everybody, like, GoPro'd up, and you just bounce from character to character.
That would be crazy.
Right down to, like, the behind the scenes, like, you're waiting to come out.
I'm the stage manager.
Right, hey. Someone's having a shit fit because their burrito didn't show up on time before.
Yeah,
before
but curtain. I mean, for somebody where that would never be a reality for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they, I don't know, it would be kind of cool.
Yeah, why not?
It would be neat if they made, if they tailored something for that.
And again,
not necessarily like retrofitting like something new for it.
No.
Or something old for it. Making something new and making it almost, could even be like those, like, they could, it could be a resurgence of like FMV games where like you're, you could, like, have different takes for, like, if whoever you are, like, you could actually control, like, what's going to happen next. Like, that'd be neat.
Pick a line or, like, do a motion or something.
Or, yeah, like, there's, like, like an A or a B, basically. And just, like, those branches. It's, like, choose your own adventure books.
Those books.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Turn to page 35.
You killed Dr. Stinky.
No!
Turn to page 97.
Dr. Stinky!
At the very least, it's a unique idea, and if nothing else, virtual reality could use more of those. So.
Yeah. Just weird. Like, get weird, people. I don't need more shooting galleries. I want weird, dumb shit.
Right.
Like a Labo.
Yeah.
Like a Labo.
That started all of this.
Full circle.
Yay! Woo!
Yeah, man, that's a really cool thing.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that is the next level, the Labo.
Could be. Who can say?
It's tactile.
Yeah, it's something. I still, I think it's very cool.
I want to see more for sure. And or try it myself.
Yeah, I'll buy the introductory one of those things.
Really?
Sure, why not? Dude, I bought 1-2 Switch, which was a much worse purchase. Than buying that cardboard kit, so... I will spend money to sate my own curiosity, like, to my detriment. Like, just happens sometimes.
I guess that was a good stream.
Yeah, it was fun to play, like, that one time. We might play it one other time someday. But I had to know. I was like, what's going on with this thing? And it turns out, not a ton. Like, there's a couple of games. If that had been a $20 purchase, I would have been satisfied with my purchase.
Sure. And it was not.
I didn't pay full price, though. That Best Buy thing still knocked enough off of it that I wasn't, like, totally devastated by the amount of money I laid down to play it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, not worth $50 for sure.
Absolutely not.
But what are you gonna do?
Shrug.
Kyle, is there anything that you want to throw out there that you've been
playing? Too much. I mean, I picked up Zelda again just because I wanted to try all the DLC stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I was going for just a clean run on Master Mode, and game's hard.
I still like, want to check that stuff out too.
Stomp your face into the ground kind of way for a while.
Sure, because yeah, I'm still in the, like, I'm going to finally finish up the story
Do
stuff.
Do it.
Because where I left off at that game, I had only, I completed two of the dungeons, or the guardians or whatever, and I hadn't even got the Master Sword yet. So now I've got the Master Sword, and I've completed three of the dungeons, and I'm about to do the fourth one, which is the, I didn't do the Death Mountain yet. The fire one.
Good. I think that's the worst one.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, good. Save the worst for last. Great.
I think that's how I did it too.
I wish somebody told me to do the Rito one first, because that's the best one.
I like that one. I like the elephant one a lot too.
Yeah, I did that one second. I did the Zoro one first.
It definitely steers you towards the Zoro one first.
Well, because it's like right north. It's just north of like Kakariko.
Right, yeah, right by Kakariko Village.
Oh, you're in Zoro's domain. See, sit
in. Like everybody in the world's like, hey, you're a Hylian. Come help us. And then you say no. 5 minutes later, hey, you're a Hylian. Come help us.
Shut it, Zoras. I'm exploring.
Do my chores.
No.
I'm excited to see where the DLC stuff goes, but I haven't gotten into it yet in terms of like the story.
Yeah, sure. I really want to check out the second patch of DLC because I haven't actually gotten into that yet.
Get your motorcycle.
Beep beep.
Some cool gear, I guess.
Get a motorcycle.
It's cool gear. Dress him up like the armored
right.
Oh yeah, the phantoms. I've got. I have all that because that was in the first.
Spirit tracks. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Almost crossed my DS Zelda stream.
They are in the other ones too, but Zelda is.
Oh, that's
the,
right. They're those phantom things, but you don't actually
talk about returning to a location. Let me tell you about the Temple of the Sea King. It's bad.
It's bad.
The end.
I haven't gone back to either of those in a long
phantom
time.
Phantom Hourglass. I never played Spirit Tracks.
I like Spirit Tracks a lot, but maybe just because the Overworld song was delightful.
Was that the one that was remixed in Smash Brothers?
Probably.
Because there was a Spirit Tracks stage in the 3DS one.
Yes, I'm sure it was in there.
Oh, sure.
I think, because I've got the Smash Brothers version from
that song.
Bonus CD on.
Okay.
On my phone. I like it. It's good.
And just kind of going around on the overworld as a train is neat.
Toot, toot.
Right, he honks the horn, and I think that's all it does, is it honks the horn.
Yay!
It's the simple things sometimes.
I think I just got a little too burned by Phantom Hourglass.
Sure.
I have heard that Spirit Tracks is better, but I was just kind of like, I'm good on DS Zelda titles.
It doesn't have Linebeck, which is its
it's unfortunate.
Greatest failure.
It's got, like, Linebeck, like, the fourth or something, it, like, doesn't it? Because it's, like, their weird super descendants.
Yeah. It's not
it's,
really
like, new Hyrule, because, like... Phantom Hourglass is a direct, almost sequel to Wind Waker.
What are we doing?
Just don't go. Do this. I don't want to go down this timeline.
Going deeper. There's like those three games are actually like
chronological. Yes, they're actually
fair enough.
In the
but,
same
like,
timeline.
Spirit Tracks is like at least 100 years in the future.
Something like that.
Okay. New Hyrule.
They haven't gone back to that either.
Nope.
You know, I guess it'd be hard because you don't have a Triforce or a Ganon.
Yeah, they did blow up those things.
They're blow buried at sink. Sea.
Buried?
Buried at sea.
Sea burial. Ganondorf's head has a mighty sharp sword in it. At the bottom of the ocean.
He's come back from worse.
It is true. One of my favorite dumb little, like, two-ish panel comics was Link in Breath of the Wild going for the Master Sword and Wind Waker Ganon jumping out because he's got the sword still in his forehead. It's really good.
One of the fun little things in the DLC, it's got a Phantom Ganon outfit that you can wear, like from Ocarina.
Oh, that's cool.
Neat.
Yeah, it's really neat. And also, whenever you wear it, people are just scared of you.
Of course.
Nice.
Well, it's really good.
Like, if you wear, like, the Dark Link outfit that you can get from that, like, broker guy, they do the same thing.
You're,
or, like, any
you're
of the...
right. I think it just copied that.
The enemy mask.
Sure, the
yeah.
same behavior.
It's really funny, though. I like it.
It's good.
I forgot that was in the game. I hadn't gotten it yet.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, the only thing I did, the most recent thing I did in that game was just, like, I finally made, like, studious use of the little tracker thing for the, like, individual items.
Oh,
like, just because for whatever reason, I was just like, I might as well max out, like, the fire armor set while I'm here, just so I have the mostest defense that I can have while not bursting into flames. So the last, like, hour I think I spent in that game was just, like, sneaking up on butterflies and pocketing
butterflies
them.
Butterflies and salamanders.
Yeah.
Salamander is very easy to find. Butterfly is not so much, but I did get it done.
You can waste a lot of time in that game maxing your gear,
yep.
which is mostly not relevant either.
Sure.
I did it for like some of the bigger stuff.
Yeah, but like your climbing set does not need to be
right at full strength. Yeah. The one that lets you swim waterfalls, maybe not so much.
Right.
But that stupid bandana.
I actually randomly had this thought playing through. So you hadn't played through it yet. You haven't done Hyrule Castle?
I haven't even gotten within probably 50 feet of that thing.
Have you watched Lorraine do it?
No, I made sure to do it when he.
Oh,
he
man.
Knows
yeah,
nothing
I,
about
I
it.
You're going into that. You're magically going into that blind even after almost a year.
It's
going to
be so good.
Yeah, I didn't even watch the because the ended game's done quick with it, and I turned it off at that point too. I was like, I'll go back and watch this run later when I've actually finished this game. So,
I mean, I'm sure in that they just took the 5 seconds it took to fly right to the end and missed the entire thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think it was blind.
Was it 100%?
I don't remember. Probably
it was
not.
All story.
Yeah.
Oh, all like shrines and I think like all main quests or something like that. So they didn't just fly there. But I mean, they could have.
Right. But I'm guessing once they got to the castle, he just used the jump 3 times and was at Ganon.
I didn't do that.
No, because that's just.
I climbed up through the sewers. Damn it.
I went through every damn inch of that place.
Oh yeah, same. I did as well.
Nice.
Real good.
Yeah, I'll get there.
That was some of the most fun I had in that game, was storming that stupid castle.
It was by far the best part.
Yeah. I still really like the dungeons. I thought they were fun.
Do some more cooking first, and then...
So good.
Doo-dee-dee-doo-dee-dee-doo.
Yeah, ha-ha.
Try to cook fairies.
What?
No, they help you cook.
Right. Just makes your stuff better or whatever. But...
I wanted to cook that damn fairy.
You cooked me.
Oh. Yeah.
You can't cook the Koroks either.
Oh, I love the Koroks. My favorite thing is that they're just the Koroks from Wind Waker. Like, they're not even different. They're it's just Maker's not there.
They're not in a jam band anymore, though.
That is true.
No.
Rocking out.
That's Hanzo's.
Silly shortcuts like that they took just kind of reused assets and concepts of.
Mm-hmm.
Inflamed the timeline theorists to no end.
Those people don't appease those people.
There's no pleasing them
one way or the other.
I want to know. I mean, there have been people saying that it fits somewhere in the timeline, but I've just accepted that it doesn't and stopped caring.
Yeah, I kind of don't care. Though one of my favorite like placement theories is that it's in the same one that the first games are.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got the like yellow band on like the like his hat, and that's only in that side. And Lynels are only because of Lynels.
That's a good point.
Lynels are only in like the first two games, basically, and like I think A Link to the Past, which is also on that side. I think.
Link to the Past is by itself because he has pink hair.
Why does he have pink hair? It doesn't make any sense.
Colors.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Wherever it is, it's so many thousands of years beyond any other Zelda game that it doesn't matter.
But it does matter because that game is beautiful.
I mean, it matters.
The game matters.
Yeah.
The timeline, maybe not so much.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, I'm still going to buy that new book. I don't think it'll have anything to do with it. But
mm-hmm.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing.
Encyclopedia, I think it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have Hyrule Historia and the like tools and...
Yeah, arts and artifacts. I picked up the first two also.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice big books. They fancy.
Yeah, they're good coffee table books. They're very well put together.
And they're not even on our coffee table.
My sister got one for Krimbus.
Nice.
Which one, the green one or the red one?
The green one.
Mm-hmm.
Hyrule Historia is real pretty.
Very cool. Yeah. It's a hell of a game.
Yes.
Keep playing it.
I definitely will.
I will go back to it, definitely, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Got my stupid Switch logo shirt that I like to wear a lot.
At some point after I finish that, I either have to get back to killing the shit out of Nazis or start my journey and down hanging out with sad robots. So.
Oh, yeah.
Either go back to Wolfenstein or play Nier. First,
you have to finish stealing people's hearts.
Yes.
You need to finish Persona.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to do that first, but I'll start doing it again.
Like, this week, because I'm finishing Banjo this week.
Yep. Will
I
do.
Miss Persona.
Huh?
I will. I promise.
It's his fault. I had to pick up the... There wouldn't have been a stream last week if I hadn't done anything, Kyle.
I will finish Persona.
Or the week before.
Definitely.
That's why it's still on YouTube. They're still titled The Show Must Go On, because nothing else would have happened.
Hey, you gotta finish Banjo now, like you said.
I know.
You wanna lock it away? That's fine with me.
I'm going. I want to. I'm 100%
thinking. Do a double stream. Stream Thursday and then stream again Friday.
Right? Picture, picture.
Or that, yeah. Two streams, one controller.
Ooh.
Oh, now you're talking.
Call it crossing streams.
Oh, boy. Very good.
Did you see the AGDQ stream of the guy
yes.
was playing Super Punch-Out 1 and 2
that
at the same
incredible.
Time?
That was incredible.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
He played them at the same time. And
yeah,
like,
with
I
the
love
same
that,
set of inputs
loved,
like on one controller. That's pretty good.
I loved when they were describing the splitter they made for it. Like,
right,
that
it was like
was
a
awesome.
Hacked up Super Nintendo controller.
That was so cool.
Very cool.
I wish, I know it probably wouldn't have been possible. I wish he could have finished them at the same time.
And with a very different routing. Possibly.
Sure. Yeah, I would say if that was the goal, then I'm sure you could do that.
The nature of those games is that I think Punch-Out NES is just faster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it definitely is faster. It would have been really cool if he could have, like, buffered it in a way. But,
right.
Super fun. I enjoyed it.
It's games done quick, Lorraine. Not games done in sync.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Crap.
Hell of a thing.
Yes.
Indeed. Anyway, I think that might just about do it, unless anyone's got anything they want to close out with.
Nope.
Nothing else to offer up to the altar?
Let's all celebrate surviving the meteor rain of 2018.
I didn't feel it. I'm so sad.
We didn't notice anything either, so I don't know if we were in
my
like just the wrong
did,
spot.
Like,
or
10 minutes away.
Yeah,
like,
my sister. She keeps going up.
Yeah.
No, they felt the ground shake.
Okay, because
yeah,
I got a ton
my parents
yeah.
did, too.
And the dog
my phone
started freaking out.
Exploded a little bit, because I got multiple messages from different people, like Phil included. They were like, hey, did you guys feel a thing?
No.
I was like, I sure didn't, so.
But the Meteorological Society or whatever said it was a 2.0 earthquake.
Yeah.
I really felt something. An earthquake here before. That was a handful of years ago.
I've never felt the earthquakes ever.
Because they said there was a sonic boom.
Yeah, so my mom was telling me about it tonight. They saw the flash first and kind of like freaked out because they're like, is someone in the backyard? Was there like a car like swiveling from the next street over?
Mm-hmm.
Like the headlights really quick? And then they heard like everything shook and there was a boom.
I think I would have crapped my pants if I had like experienced the whole thing. I would have been like, it's happening, it's done.
Someone finally used the black materia, damn it! End it all!
It's done.
They did it.
There is nothing. And then I just...
And then
we soil myself.
Right.
And that'd be it.
Sound
I kept racking,
also known as
run.
The brown nose.
I kept racking my brain for the perfect Earthbound joke and never quite put one together.
Buzz Buzz.
Well, okay.
He's a warrior from
guy
the future. You need to play that game. You need to play Earthbound something fierce.
But yeah, you're not wrong. Like that... And the closer you were to it, the scarier it would be. But like,
did they say New Haven?
I'm not even. I didn't even know. I was going to ask if anybody knew like where it
I heard
actually
Mount Clemens.
Landed.
Where?
Mount Clemens is what I heard.
Mm. Okay.
Where the debris ended
close?
Up?
Yeah.
That's like imagine like that's like getting struck by lightning like plus
from
a couple exponents like if you got killed right if you got killed by a meteor crash
fucking
like
sick.
Imagine
take me I want to do that
I mean I guess you'd be remembered like you'd be a fun like trivia question 1,000 years from now assuming there's a society
I want a piece of it I want a piece
I
of the meteor
sword out of it.
Well the thing that's been going around today is did you find out how much meteorites are worth $300 a gram, which translates to like $1 million a pound.
Yeah.
So,
well,
do they know how big it was?
No. I mean,
well, somebody probably does.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if like they had said.
Yeah. The Fed got there, Lorraine.
Damn. I know what I'm doing this weekend.
The guys in black suits are there, and it's all gone.
Mm-hmm. We're going to space. I mean, you can find a lot of meteors in space.
Does anyone remember the one from Russia a few years ago? It was the same kind of deal. It's just a
meteor
out of the sky.
Because there was like. I remember all that dash cam footage.
Right, because in Russia they have dash cams in all their cars because of all the insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So you can go up on YouTube and see like 15 different camera angles of that thing falling out of the
but,
sky.
This one wasn't quite as big as that one. Mm. What I heard.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, man. What a thing. Again, like it's just like, as if you needed one more reminder in 2018 that we're all like fleas on the backs of... This planet
the
hurtling through space.
They're trying to correct the errors we've made.
God has come to reap the sinners.
Okay, for now. And on that hopeful note.
Yeah!
See you next time.
Yeah, we're going to call it a show. Kyle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Lorraine, thanks for hanging out.
I'm always here.
Natalie, it's good to see you.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming over and hanging out.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, waxing poetic about video games and among other things. It is
utility
fun.
Utility of existence.
Yeah. I think it's a
fun.
I think, honestly, utility. Like I read an article probably like 2 years ago.
Of course you did.
From a guy, from Patrick Lepik wrote a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was just like, everybody should podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with them. Mm-hmm. Like, even if no one ever listens to it, or just like a handful of people close to you listen to it, forcing yourself to have a conversation with people, like a long form kind of discussion, I think is super valuable.
Strange. Yeah.
Just period. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Right.
I like doing it.
Now I can listen to myself and others talk forever if I ever go on a long trip.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
We got... this is our
I think you're over 100 episodes at this point.
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're in like the 70s.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to have to celebrate then.
We're getting there.
We'll put
not
on the calendar.
Trust me, I will let you know when we get close to
it. I'll cook.
Are we counting like the pure DBZ ones?
Yeah, I think they count. If you're going to just count total number,
I think
that
have
counts.
Been counting them.
Yeah.
Because they have episode numbers. Like, you can put that metadata in. Like, I'll do that tomorrow.
Right, even if they're not physically tagged to that on the outside.
If you,
the file always...
If you downloaded, the file off of
Podbean
or something like that...
It'll be in the track number spot or something.
Yeah, it's in the details. I got to make a new podcast. This is our first podcast of 2018, man. I got to update those tags.
We made it.
Audacity to make the number be different.
Right on.
Woo!
Very cool. But yeah, it's a good time.
3 weeks in? 2 weeks in? It's fine.
Yeah, we... Getting back in the swing of things. It's been busy. There's a lot of shit going on.
It's true.
In any case, again, thank you all for hanging out.
Woo!
Always a pleasure. And until next time, we'll see you later, Internet.
Bye!